You don't know how hard I worked on that children's message, do you? And then I got it all done, and I just got done doing it, and I started to think to myself, you know what? That was probably enough for you. I don't know if the kids got that. That was pretty big stuff, wasn't it? So maybe I'm done. Did you get it? What I said to the kids, that Jesus is our King and He rules all the time, everywhere, and all honor and authority goes to Him. And because of that, we are confident, we feel at home with God, and we can do the things that God wants us to do. And finally, we know that when all things are over, we'll be with Him in heaven, because that's a kingdom that He rules over too. So, boy, I should rewrite this and do something, because that's really all it needs to be. But of course, I get paid for 15 to 20 minutes, right? So, all right, teach us to pray. Are you ready? This is the part of the Lord's Prayer we're doing for today. What is the second petition? What was that? Good. What does this mean? The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may come on us also. And how does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word, lead godly lives here and time and there in eternity. So there you have it. I'll go back to the original opening slide. There's a little insert if you want to use it. It's there for you to use inside of your bulletin. And I just want to kind of mention that my message to you today really comes in three parts. The first one is to be a kingdom seeker. Okay? My second part, and these really aren't that long, is to pray for God's church, which we call is in the kingdom of grace. Okay? There's actually three kingdoms that God rules over. One is the kingdom of power or this world. We're not going to talk about that today because that's already come. We're living in it. But there are things about God's kingdom, the church, grace, which are coming. We're going to talk about that just a little bit. And then the last part is to pray that God's heavenly eternal kingdom come quickly. So, how's your prayer life? Feel pretty good about your prayers? You think your prayers are strong enough and said confidently enough that they're being answered? And can you see that? God talks to you, and I've said this almost every time we've begun our message. He's talking to you 24/7. He's conversing with you, right? He's with you all the time. He talks to you in many ways. Are we seeing that and responding accordingly? So we could all really grow, couldn't we? There's things about our prayer life that each and every one of us can enhance when we learn what Jesus said when He responded to the question, teach us to pray. And then He went into this prayer. So we covered our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name today, Thy kingdom come. To be seekers of righteousness. You can tell what your prayer life is really all about when you look at very carefully the things that are most important to you for which you're praying. Okay? Like, for example, today, Milton Bagenstos turns 88. And you know what? It sounds better when you turn those numbers around, to let you know. Kevin Robolowski, he turned something today, and I'm not going to tell anybody how old you are, but I think I know. When you turn yours around, it may not be as significant anyway. But yeah, I know that. And I have a birthday today. He turned mine around, and I'm not sure if I like it so much. Anyway, what I was thinking about is my wife asked me, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want to do? And I struggle with that at this age. you know, what do I really want? And then about an hour ago, I came up with it, Lori. I want to be 17. But really, seriously, you know what I really want? I want to feel confident and good about who I am. And I don't always feel that way. Do you? And I think it's because I'm not always seeking the right thing, asking for the right things. When Jesus said, "Pray thy kingdom come," he had in mind that we pray for righteousness. And I wonder how each and every one of us would feel about God and life and talking to God if we were constantly in priority seeking his righteousness. And the reason that I say that is because of what happens in Matthew, the other gospel that Jesus said the Lord's Prayer. And he said that in a part of the gospel, and I've told you this, where he's doing the Sermon on the Mount, and he's dealing with people and how they're seeking after the things of life. And he said, why do that? You know, the birds of the air, they don't do that. God gives them all their glory. The flowers of the field, they don't do that. And they have everything they need. Jesus dies for your sins because as much as God loves his only dear son, he put him on the cross so all your sins could be put away, that you might have a right relationship with God. Given that, how much more do you matter to God than all the other things? Think about that. And if that's really true, why do we really ask for the things of this world as if they were more important than us realizing how God has taken care of us spiritually? Have you ever considered that? What is the one thing, and it's here, that you can ask for right this very moment and know that God will give it, period? No questions asked. Faith, the Holy Spirit, righteousness. You can ask for those things right now, and there's no questions as to whether or not he will give it. And when you pray that way, God, I want faith. I need a stronger faith. I'm going through difficulties. Life is not easy. Whatever the problem may be, before we ask for the things we think are going to take care of, whatever that issue is, we ask for God's love, for faith, for his righteousness to fill our hearts. Think about that for the moment. If we get that, how's that going to affect the way you feel about all the other things that are on your mind right now? And by the way, when we get to that last part of the sermon about God's heavenly kingdom coming, if his kingdom comes, that heavenly eternal kingdom comes before you think, and before you get the things that you think you need or want, guess what? You're not going to need those things. We pray for so many things that are not even a problem or an issue because of God's coming, when he comes, when he knows it's right. I think that's interesting about prayer. So be a righteousness seeker. Next, pray for the kingdom of grace to come. What we're praying for here, of course, in the church, is that God fills us up with his grace and his love and his forgiveness. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we're praying that we get the things from church that we really need. Now, in these days, it's become convoluted as far as what we think we need from our church. We got many churches out there given many programs of many types, and I suppose some of them do meet spiritual needs. But our focus is on those programs rather than what we're supposed to get out of them. What is it that we really want out of church but the fact to know God loves us and God cares for us and God's not going to leave us to ourselves? And Jesus is ever present no matter what is going on in life. And that finally, in the end, the big picture is simple and clear. We're going to be gathered around God's throne of grace forever, thanking Him for His care in our lives. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's what I want out of my church. Beyond that, everything's just frosting. That's how I look at it, really. I've got to that point in my own spiritual life. Those are the things I seek. Those are the things I need. That's what I want out of my church. When people are friendly and they say nice things to me and I feel like I've got this wonderful fellowship in the group of believers, that's great. That's wonderful. I can see God's kingdom doing some of the things it needs to do. But it can't do those things unless first it's taught clearly sin and salvation. And so we look there. The next part of this prayer is very important. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're saying that missions are a priority to each and every one of us. Did you know that? That's the one thing I love about this petition. When we pray for the church, we're saying missions are our priority. In other words, I'm not just talking about foreign missions, although I am. I'm not just talking about national missions, although I am. Local outreach and missions that can be done here, I am. But what I am praying for is that this message of Christ would be preached and taught in areas all over everywhere so that everybody would know what's in my heart and the heart of my church. That's a priority. And so we have this Bible verse, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." That could be you. In the place where you live, do your work, love your family, care for people. That could be you, because you're in the harvest field here, right now. Just by being in church, you're telling people what's important to you and that you love Jesus. This is a mission field right here, right now. When you go out the doors and you drive away, of course you're in a mission field. There are people who need to know Jesus, and they won't know it unless you live it and tell it. But there are places where you're not going to be able to go, and people you're not going to be able to reach simply because you're here and now, and you can't be there and everywhere. And so we pray for missionaries and pastors and church startups and all the rest of that. That's a part of our regular prayer routine. In fact, it's a priority, even before we get into anything else, because we know that if we pray for that, God grants it in our midst too. Preaching everybody in our church and ourselves. A strong priority of missions, that we would support it financially as a priority as what we do in a church. First and foremost, we look at what we do as a church, not just to pay for our bills, our building, and everything else, but are we reaching ears and showing how important it is that Jesus knows, or others know Jesus through us? We should be showing it with our finances in the church as well. We must always remember how important it is that when we give, we set a part of it aside because we're praying, "Thy kingdom come." And we're doing it regularly. And we need to live that out in our lives. It's not just about us. It's about everyone. And some of you know how have I stood up against those who don't want to do that and just focus everything on ourselves. How can you do that when you pray, "Thy kingdom come"? And you do it so often. Last, pray the kingdom of glory come quickly. Do you know the earliest prayer that they preached or that they prayed in the early church? And this goes way back because they found documents and manuscripts about this. Early church liturgy, when they sat down to pray. Do you know that they said, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly"? That was the earliest prayer they had. That was praying, "Thy kingdom come." But did you know they were so into that prayer that they quit their jobs? They quit doing a lot of things because they thought that if they prayed that, he would be there right then, right now, and they didn't need to work or do anything else. And so Paul had to write the church, Thessalonica, "He who does not work, neither does he eat." He had to remind them that they had to go to work. But he did not say that the prayer was bad. By the way, when you sit down to eat your meals, do you say that prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest"? You do that sometimes? Yeah, sure. Do you realize that you're praying, "Come, Lord, quickly"? Even while I'm eating, come be in my presence. And maybe, well, I know he is, he's there, but maybe while you're praying that sometime, you'll take a bite into that piece of broccoli you don't really want to eat, and he'll return, and you don't have to swallow it. You know? I always just, you know, it'd be something, or liver, or something like that. But we're praying, "Come, Lord, quickly, come now." We want that. We need that. That's what we desire. We want God's heavenly kingdom eternally to be in our midst forever, to leave this veil of tears where there's so many issues and problems, hurts and pains, to be in a place where it's all gone away. I think of Frank, you know, Slayton, he's just been called home. How many times he prayed this? And in visiting, you know, with Beth, I told him, you know, that prayer has come true now, "Thy kingdom come." He's there. That prayer is not suicidal. The prayer is hopeful, faithful, confident, and filled with Christ. Okay, so what I did for you today, I was trying to give you some helps every day. Here's the helps I gave you. Look up, look around, look back, look forward, look inside. This is an old way to pray, and this is nothing new. Has anybody seen this before? I learned this when I was in the Baptist church growing up. I don't know how long they prayed this, but to begin a prayer with, "Look up." So you do this, and everybody do it. You look up, and you say, "My Heavenly Father, you're here, you're everywhere, and you're speaking to me." So we look up. We know that God is not us, that he is a real entity, and he's almighty and powerful. So we looked up, and we say, "Okay, here I am. You're who you are. I am who I am. I don't have any right or privilege here, but because of Christ, I can look up and pray. Look around." And so we do this when we pray. We look around. We learn that. And I thought that's kind of strange to look around. But the reason we look around is because we don't consider ourselves first in prayer, but we look at all the things going on in the world around us, and we say, "Great needs for our church and for others." Then we look back. And so our Sunday school teacher would always have us turn around and look back. "What do you see?" "I see somebody else's back." You know, what is it when you turn around and look back? Well, you see God's been active, and he's been answering prayers all along. Even though your prayer life may not be all it should be, God has been active and doing his work. Then we look forward. We turn back around, we look forward. And our teacher would always say, "What are you looking forward to? What is it that you want most in life?" And she was always the one that, my third grade Sunday school teacher, was the one who always taught me to seek Christ first, his righteousness in my life. As I look forward, then everything else will be added unto me. And then the last one is to look inside when we pray. And of course, that's that part of us that sees nothing but sin and nothing but salvation, nothing but sin and nothing but a saint, all at the same time, nothing but everything gone wrong and nothing but everything gone right, which is an oddity, of course, but because who we are as human beings, obviously there's that sin in our lives, and there's that natural human sinful tendency to reject God. But at one and the same time, we're baptized Christians, and the Word of God has had full effect on our hearts, and we know that Christ is our Lord and our Savior, and therefore, we're completely all the people God wants us to be right here and right now, and with confidence we can go to Him in prayer. May God be with you as you go through your life of prayer this week.